Welcome to Let's Talk About It, co-hosted by Maria Wyatt and Scott Dudley. Presented by Imperial County Behavioral Health Services and brought to you as a podcast by KCRowRadio.com.
Good morning, Imperial Valley. You are listening to your weekly wellness radio, Let's Talk About It. We are brought to you by Imperial County Behavioral Health and KUBO 88.7 Radio Bilingue. And our phone number here at the station is 337-8874. With your host, Scott Dudley,
and,
yours truly,
Good
Maria
morning.
Wyatt.
And welcome, and thank you all for listening. Thank you for tuning in, or if you were just tuning in at random, well, hang around. We got a great show again for you. This is your voice for wellness in the Imperial Valley and the Mexicali Valleys and all those bouncy valleys that we live
in. As far as we can reach.
Yeah. We're reaching. So can you see us? We're stretching right now. Okay, so thank you for joining us. 337-8874 is the phone number. Again, always, every week, we have really good shows. And if you want to find those shows after, I mean, like today, for example, because we got a really cool guest and a great topic, and then I'm going to tip off. I'm going to make you keep listening and find out. But my point being is at the end of the show, you're like, oh, that was like the greatest show ever, and my tia needed to hear that show over in somewhere, and she was getting the kids ready for school, and she didn't get the show. Well, now we have good news for you, because now if you go to KXO's website, KXO.com.
KXO Radio.com.
Yeah. Google KXO. It'll just take you right there. And look under Let's Talk About It, and look under the podcast. You can find our shows available on podcast. Edited by chief editor of shows, Mario, who's also the board guy, up all, like probably 3 or 4 days, but sometimes a week after the show has been on the air. And so you can go back and say, hey, Thea, you know what? I just heard this really good show today, and it was cool. It was all about the stuff you're going through, and here's where you can find it, and you can just email them the link.
And it's only the English shows, unfortunately,
yes.
At this time.
Yes.
So.
Desfortunadamente.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll work on getting the Spanish side together. But anyway, it's another resource, and you know what we're trying to do. It's not obvious, but what we're trying to do is kind of have this web of wellness, this mutual support system in Imperial County, that where people take care of each other and we treat each other as a community, and we bring all of our best learning and all of our the emerging science of wellness and you know, taking care of each other onto the air and share it with you, and it becomes part of who we are. Mm-hmm. In this community. We've been doing it for 6 years. So, Marie and I have. Yeah.
Wow. It's been a long time. But today we have one of those also, one of the agencies that provides a lot of services here in Imperial County. That's Imperial County Office of Education. And they have a great program that they've
just
started.
One
yeah.
Great program.
One of the, they have many great programs, but today's show, Liliana.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Liliana Siordia.
I got it
in front of me, so unfair practice here. And what do you do for ICO? What do you do for the Office of Education? What's
I'm
your title?
I'm a prevention specialist.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. I've been working for student well-being for the last 10 years. It's been a long time.
A decade of student well-being.
Yes.
So you work under George Miranda.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yes, he's my supervisor and a great person, great leader. So I've been doing this prevention work right after high school. I started with AmeriCorps tutoring program, and from there I went to student assistant representative, working with students, providing support groups at the schools, and now as a prevention specialist. It's been great. It's been great experience, great learning, and I'm glad for the opportunity of having this job and be able to share with families, with students, so many interesting and important things.
Yeah. Like your program that you're doing today. So prevention
yes.
specialists have lots of different roles, right? Because there's like different grants and different programs. And
exactly. We have prevention programs in the area of drug and alcohol. We have prevention programs in the area of violence. Just different prevention programs. But what I would like to share with you today, it's about the nurturing parenting program.
Mm-hmm.
And this is prevention of child abuse. Prevention, it's so broad. It can cover so many areas.
It's not just telling people to stop it?
Yeah. No, exactly. It's actually...
I can't go door to door and just knock on people's doors and say, look, don't use drugs. Didn't I just prevent it?
Oh, that would be awesome.
No, we can't. No. But one thing also about this program is that it's in collaboration with between behavioral health and the Office of Education.
Absolutely, yes.
So it's a collaboration.
It's a collaboration.
Which makes it even better.
Absolutely, yes. We just provide one of the components of this whole plan, this program. It's very comprehensive. And we just do the parenting classes as a prevention effort. To reduce the incidence of abuse, to reduce the stress in families. And this program is not just for families that are already in the abuse, in the dysfunction, mm-hmm. but it's also anybody can benefit from this parenting class.
You know, my last child came along 8 years ago. I'm still looking for the instruction manual.
There's no instruction manual.
You get in the car and it's in the glove box. You know, you right away. It's like there's, and it's getting thicker and thicker. And it's like 100 pages long now, and it doesn't tell you how to fix anything. It's just advisements. But when my kid was born, nothing. It's like, hey, here's a complimentary diaper, and Similac would like you to take some powdered stuff. And so as a parent, I guess.
No, you know
where
what?
Where do I start?
I had. Okay, I was a first time parent. You had two before.
Yeah.
And it was my first time. I was 36 years old, first baby. You know, the book that saved me was What to Expect the First Year.
Ah.
It was my manual, believe it or not. Yeah. But now, as she's getting older, and now she's a toddler, this program, Nurturing Parenting, is because she has her own, you know, we have character, personality. You know, she says no, yes, and because it's great.
She doesn't say maybe. Yet.
Maybe and no, and yes.
Yeah. Well, many of my parents say, you know, there's no book for parenting. There's not. But and there's a lot of information, like the book you just mentioned, that help us, that guide us. And Nurturing Parenting is that, you know, a lot of information in that aspect, but it's also, it takes us a step further. Take us to look inside of our own behavior as parents. Mm-hmm. What are we carrying as our parenting style that comes from back from how our parents parent us?
Mm-hmm.
So it's that's what is unique and so special about this program. It helps us see those patterns and help us see that some of the things that we're doing now that are not working, we can change that. If we really take that awareness and we really see where that is coming from.
Mm-hmm.
So
let me see if I can squeeze out what I heard. Here's what I heard. That, well, because we don't get an instruction manual, when we get kids, we pretty much have our own experiences being parented as a guide. And I'm guessing because I certainly did some things the opposite of the way my parents did them, that we keep some things. Some traditions that we thought were like good traditions, mm-hmm. and maybe we do things sometimes the opposite where we thought, ugh, I didn't like that. But what you're saying, and then what you're saying is that really what you can do is look at stuff and say, how well is this working, or how well does research say that a certain style or management strategy, I suppose,
mm-hmm.
in raising kids. How well does that work, and what type of product are you going to get out of it? So you can actually go back and make this more organized and more scientific, and it doesn't have to just be, well, whatever you happened to be exposed to.
Right.
Okay.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah,
cool.
Exactly.
Cool. Now, there's a whole science behind this stuff now, or how does it come from?
This program is research validated. Mm-hmm. The creator is Dr. Babalik, and this program it's in the criminal justice system. They're using it in different areas. It's across the world. It's translated in about 7 languages, I believe. It's really neat, and we see just different strategies. They give us different strategies to use, but like I was saying, not just the strategies, but also, you know, why is it important? How can, you know, I take what I learned, what I experienced with my parents, and use it if it's good, or how can I change it for a new behavior, for a new technique. So it's really great.
So how what is the structure? How is the program implemented?
Okay, sure. We start by going to the schools and inviting parents to kind of pitch in the program. We say we have a parenting classes, and the parenting class lasts for 10 sessions for 2 hours once a week. Mm-hmm. We tell them the importance of this program, what they will get, and you know if they're interested, then we come up with a group. And the first session, we give them an assessment, which is really neat because this tool can help us see where the parents are, where the parenting style, the different approaches they use, and from there what we can change. So that's how we start.
Now, you're just one person, and I know there's lots and lots of schools. Which schools are you targeting, and which schools are you at right now? And, like, for the listeners, how do we know where to find you right now?
Sure. You can always reach us at Imperial County Office of Education, the Department of Student Wellbeing and Family Resources. The number there is 760-312-6498. And right now, we just finished a class at Main School in Calexico. We target the Migrant Head Start program there, and it was very, very successful. It was 12 weeks long, counting the orientation, 10 weeks of weekly sessions, mm-hmm. and then our celebration. Wonderful ladies there. We had a total of 6 parents ending, completing the program. Mm-hmm. We started with about 8. And it went down to 6, but very, very successful.
And that, the age range, what was it?
That was the 0 to 5.
And that's what's being targeted by your part of this nurturing parenting program. That's correct. Mm-hmm. Why is 0 to 5 such? You know, why did you choose that age group? Is there something important about them?
Absolutely.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
That's the time to get them.
Yes, exactly. That's where when the brain is affected the most. We see the great growth in the brain happens during those years. We can see I have an 11-month-old baby. It's incredible the things that she's doing now. And, of course, as she continues growing, we'll see the exploration. We'll see so many things. And that's when the greatest growth in the brain physically, in every aspect. And it's a window of opportunity. Many of the things that will happen for them from 0 to 5 will set up the rest of their lives. So that's why it's so important to target this population.
And especially if parents were raised in a violent or dysfunctional family, you know, we need to stop the cycle.
Absolutely.
You know, and if they have now their own babies, you know, this is the best time. You know, get them when they're young. The babies are young, so we can stop that cycle of muscle. Mm-hmm.
So you're saying that the stuff that I was exposed to, for example, 0 to 5, resulted in my brain growing and developing in certain ways.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And that carries through my entire life.
Absolutely. And our brain, it's we can mold our brain.
And no more South Park.
No, stop.
We can, of course, there's things we can change, absolutely. But there's some things that will be a little bit more difficult. It's going to take us more work.
But we could make a supportive environment. I guess what you're saying is you have a chance as a parent with 0 to 5 to maximize the opportunities for brain growth and development, regardless of whatever else is going on. You can always do it the best you can.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. Yes, our experiences change impact or self-concept, impact or self-esteem, and therefore our behavior. So if we expose a child to violence, it's going to affect in different areas and therefore the behavior. And we'll continue seeing the pattern. If we expose a child to a rich environment, to a healthy environment, a place, you know, where there's healthy communication, boundaries, where we see this decision-taking that is healthy. We see values, morals. It's in reach. So then the self-concept is affected. The self-esteem is affected in a positive way. Therefore, the behavior will be affected in a positive way as well.
So that, I mean, that also helps the school environment too.
Yes, yes.
This it helps everything.
Yes. Of course, we want successful students. We want obedient and good children. Well, we have to provide them these opportunities. And yes, it will impact them at school, at their social life, personal life, in all areas. Yeah.
So what are the, you said there were 10 sessions.
Mm-hmm.
So what do the sessions involve, consist of? Or?
Yeah. The sessions, we start with nurturing as a lifestyle, kind of really understanding the importance of this and rich environment, the importance of giving our children healthy opportunities, healthy experiences. And then we have, for example, ages and stages, which is a really good one. It talks about the development from 0 to 5, the brain development, the physical development, the social development, all the aspects of development, so that we can understand our children and see what to expect. And that's one of our next sessions, appropriate expectations. Mm-hmm. It is important. Sometimes we have too high expectations for our children. We want to squeeze the best out of them, but they're not ready at that stage. We want for them to be adding at 2 or mm-hmm. just picking up their plate at 1 year old. Just sometimes we're not matching. Yes, we are desperate.
Potty trained.
Oh, that's a good one. Potty trained, yes. So we want to push them sometimes too much. Well, that's not healthy. We need to know, you know, physically if the child is ready, emotionally if it's ready. And also, sometimes we see that our expectations are too low. Sometimes we don't encourage our children enough. We have the tendency to do things for them, and we're robbing them for opportunities to learn. So that having appropriate expectations is very important, and the curriculum guides us in having that awareness and also looking in the back, you know, how was it for me? What am I doing now? Another very good session, recognizing and handling feelings and helping your children handle their feelings. That's a really good one. We have the tendency to say, oh, you're crying. Okay, I'm going to give you a good one. So that
you,
so you can have a reason to cry. Yeah.
So we are not allowed.
Or what happens when that's like bad or what?
Well, yes, in my, I really believe it really suppresses a lot in the child. You know, I'm not allowed to express my feelings. I'm not allowed to cry. I'm not allowed to feel, to tell others that this is bothering me.
That didn't hurt you. How about that? That's
right. That's going to hurt me. Yeah.
No, didn't hurt at all. Why are you crying?
Huh. Yeah. And we don't see this just in abusive families. We see it in just stressed families. And who's not a stressed lady, mm-hmm. you know?
And you see it from families that they learned it from their own parents.
Absolutely.
Well, because I mean, not to play devil's advocate or anything, but yeah, like I never give up that role if I get a chance. But, but you know, we live in a society that values productivity. We live in a society that values not getting overly self-indulgent about your life's issues and just getting out there and getting to work and getting the job done. And so part of our job as parents may be to teach children that mindset, to put that into them so that when they hit school, they're little productive little automations that are able to kind of fight through the day-to-day bounces and blips and not get too sidetracked in and not get too over-focused, I suppose, in you know, the self-relevance. Like, what did that mean to me? Oh, I feel sad. And, and in the meantime, you just failed your STAR test because you were busy feeling sad, you know? So I guess there's a push and pull there that, mm-hmm. that may have, be really fun to talk about or something.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes, absolutely. Feelings are, we can really have a good discussion mm-hmm. about feelings, but this curriculum really pushes us to really have that awareness. And not
to notice them and label them correctly and
exactly yeah. and move on. What am I gonna do with this feeling? Mm-hmm. Not just keep thinking about it and you know processing and feel the sadness. Mm-hmm. No, but actually be productive. Do something about it. So I'm aware that when this happens, I feel this way, and it's not healthy for me. It's not helping me.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm gonna avoid that next time. I'm going to avoid that situation, whatever that is causing us to feel frustrated or anxious or, you know, so that awareness and to be productive.
You know, going through those sessions that you mentioned, the topics, mm-hmm. how have parents reacted towards it? Because that's one of the things that if this is their, you know, for me, if I would, as a first-time mom, any help, well, I would have been greatly appreciated, you know, any input, anything, this sort of a program would be great for me. But for other parents that have had other kids and raised them, and then here you come and tell them, you know, everything that you did before was not really, you know,
optimal.
And this is the way you should do it.
Right.
How have the reaction, the acceptance of the program?
Great. Yeah, it's been great. Really, the parents are very receptive, and of course, it's how you put it out there for them. Mm-hmm. And like you know, we mentioned at the beginning, we don't know how to be a parent. We just have the experience of you know
our
parents. So we try to do the best with what we have. And so when we bring these different topics to parents, and they realize and they have voiced that, you know, so. What you're saying is that I've been doing it wrong. I approach them. Well, this is an invitation to do it different. You know, just and parents are very receptive. Mm-hmm. They, I guess, again going back to that awareness, and of course, parents want the best for their children, and they're willing to work, you know, in these areas for them so that they can improve as parents. So very receptive.
And one of the things, this is done by in Spanish, correct?
Yes, uh-huh. Our five classes that we have been Spanish. The one we just finished one. We have four going on, and the four classes are in Spanish.
Mm-hmm. Great. Well, we're going to take a short break. Top of the hour. This is Let's Talk About It. We're sponsored by Imperial County Behavioral Health Services. And we'll be right back with more on nurturing parenting.
You're listening to the complete podcast version of Imperial County's Behavioral Health Service Let's Talk About It, brought to you by KXORadio.com.
Hey, welcome back. This is Let's Talk About It, your voice for wellness here in Imperial County. My name is Scott Dudley, and I'm your host for the second half of the show, because Maria had to go to a very important meeting, and we're still doing nurturing parenting, and we will continue to do that. I'm back with my first guest in the first half of the show. Her name is Liliana Siorlia.
I got it.
Yes. Clear the space. I got it. She's a prevention specialist for the Imperial County Office of Education, as was I, by the way, many, many moons ago. I trace my roots back to that tree. I'm one of the children they threw out into the wind and said, "Go plant and prosper somewhere else." I tried my best. And we also have a second guest, and her name is Ana San Pedro, and she is a...
I'm also a prevention specialist.
Another prevention specialist. Yes. Okay, and now you guys form actually a nurturing parenting team.
Yes.
And there's more than one role. I mean, typically in parenting classes, I guess, there's like, and maybe there's co-facilitators, but there's like the co-facilitators to the parents.
Mm-hmm.
And the parenting program is really a parenting program. In some respects, nurturing parenting is a little bit different. I guess let's jump in there, and let me throw out the phone number. It's 337-8874 if you have questions for Liliana or Ana. No last name, no. And we'll jump into this. So with nurturing parenting, there's a child component, too. Let's jump right into that.
Yeah, the thing that makes this program really great is that while Liliana, for example, is working with the parents, I'm actually simultaneously working with the children. There is a curriculum for both, and the idea is that they are sort of interwoven, and that, you know, if the parents are learning their lessons or you know, discussing and growing on in their class, then the children are also receiving the same lessons, but at their level. And, you know, of course, with I'm working mainly with three and four-year-olds, really, although we do go up to five-year-olds. We haven't sort of jumped into the kindergarten classes so much, but that is, you know, in our plans. And it is, as you can imagine, if anybody here has, you know, toddlers, it's pretty difficult to have a curriculum that is, you know, very structured. But we do include, like, little segments. So we do, you know, quite a bit of free time and play time and projects, but then we also do try to incorporate lessons. So, you know, it comes down to very basic things like teaching them, you know, well, okay, what is praise? What is criticism? How does it feel? You know, what should you do when someone, you know, praises you? Because a lot of little kids get embarrassed. You know, we teach them from very young, like, you know, you shouldn't be vain and you shouldn't, like, there's all these ideas about, you know, sort of not being a stuck-up person.
Pride comes before the fall, baby.
Right. It's such a huge thing. And the fact is that, you know, like Viviana was saying earlier, it's such a critical stage. And here's where we really want to build their self-esteem. We want to build them up so that, you know, they are going to face lots of challenges and that they have that base, that platform where they can, you know, feel good about themselves at their core. And so we do one exercise, for example, called strength bombardment. And, you know, we make a circle and we put each kid gets to be in the middle at one point, and we all give them praise. You know, we all tell them what we like about them, what we see in them. And
you and the other three and four-year-olds in the group.
Yes.
Okay. And not your three or four, but
right.
your co-facilitators in this case are the other children.
Yes, that's right. And it's really cute because at that age, you know, kids...
A little more concrete.
Yeah, they're really, I mean...
I like your shoes.
That's right. It's all like, oh, I like your shirt. I like your shoes.
These are Jordans. Okay, retro Jordans.
But it starts...
I want you to like my shoes.
Yeah, that's... We have to sort of be compassionate and realize that at that age, they see themselves as their stuff, you know? They're not thinking abstractly about, like, you know, what a kind and forgiving person Tommy is, you know? They're thinking,
well, and for
like,
three-year-olds to be kind and forgiving people, it's kind of not,
right.
Maybe a little atypical also.
It goes back to appropriate expectations we have to realize, you know, like, for them, like, I have a really cool game is, you know, that builds them up. That makes
them egocentric to the point of universally egocentric is kind of normative, especially at three.
Mm-hmm. But it's great because you can start introducing things and start, you know, helping them make that next step where they're going to start thinking more abstractly. And, like, where we talk a lot about empathy in this program and getting the kids to realize, well, they're really upset because someone, you know, or one of the kids is not sharing with the other kid. And so you go to that kid and you say, okay, well, if it was you and you wanted to use the toy, you know, how would you feel if he wasn't letting you? Okay, we have to share. And you kind of, there's a lot of repetition involved and whatnot, yeah. But getting them to see it from the other person's perspective.
I don't know to the extent that, just, I guess, comment from what you've seen in working with the kids, is the development of empathy, because empathy is kind of a rarefied air, if you will, even for us adults, commonly.
Yeah.
Is that something that requires a basic degree of security or groundedness, I suppose, or something like that to take root, especially in like a 3-year-old or a 4-year-old?
I think the mind.
You know, that's, you know, like the little seagulls.
Yeah. Well, we can see how they can be compassionate to a little cat, little dog. So we build on that. See, they give you a little bit, and then you continue building on that. So you take that love and that, you know, caring for a little cat to caring for your friends. Caring for, you know, what mom is saying, how, what, you know, your teacher is saying. So you build on that. You build on the little that they have. And something that is special is that some of these kids are hurting. Some of these kids are into that stress environment, into this abuse environment. So when we talk about empathy, when we talk about feelings, when we talk about, you know, caring for others, respecting others, at times it's new for them and it's learning and it's growth.
How to manage pain is probably a good thing to kind of get out on the table, because, you know, even if we were somehow able to kind of orchestrate all the chess pieces on the board of life perfectly, I think you'd still experience pain fairly commonly. and still have to begin to learn how to manage that. And then also recognize pain in others and mm-hmm. be aware of your contributions to that, perhaps.
Right.
So a lot of this, it sounds like for the 0 to 5, a lot of this is beginning, for both parents and kids, is beginning mm-hmm. to recognize that, A, I'm feeling something inside of myself most of the time. You know, part of my mm-hmm. feedback yeah. about what I'm doing or where I'm at. Are my feelings. My feelings are giving me information about, you know, how in sync I am, I guess, with what I'm doing. And, you know, for three-year-olds, too, that's the same kind of thing. And then secondly, that everybody else is having feelings, too.
Yeah.
And as a parent, my responsibility extends to being aware of the feelings of my people, my little ones.
Yeah, that's very important, especially when we're stressed. We're not able to empathize with our children. And so if we, through the classes, if we get this awareness and we learn to do that, be in synchrony with our children, we will be more likely to stop and breathe and say, well, he's probably feeling embarrassed or...
Does nurturing parent talk about environments? Because it seems like how much energy, how much busyness you have in the immediate environment, whether it's lots of electronic stimulation or lots of books and debris on the floor, you know, or whatever's going on. It seems like being aware of the environment and maybe managing it in a way that brings down the level of busyness might be something mm-hmm. that might be really conducive to helping relationships and helping grow.
Yeah. For example, what I can think of that is the emphasis that the curriculum has on having building routines, having routines at home, teaching children to, it's like building habits in the long run, but for right now it's routines. We go to bed at this time, we are ready for school at this time, setting family rules, setting those routines, those the environment.
And Liliana works with the parents also on identifying like family values and morals and sort of, mm-hmm. you know, what do you really want to see in your family and then structure your rules based on that.
What kind of stuff do you get out of that? I mean, just in general, where do people end up when you go through that exercise with them?
Oh, it's interesting. Actually, it was a class yesterday about the topic we had that discussion. That was our lesson. And, it comes to the realization of parents that they have to do some self-discipline to help their children. When we talk about, we were talking about values and morals, and we brought the conversation about how the media influence our morals and our values, and we talk about music in particular, banda music, Hispanic music. All this.
Can we cue up Chola? Could we cue up Chola? Could we? No. We're talking about banda music. Sorry. My bad.
But we have these corridos that are listening. And these corridos are talking. Corridos are talking about, you know.
The narcotraficante song.
Exactly. And how, you know, killing us being something to be proud of, you know. Gaining this traffic battles as, you know, something major. So, you know, we had a discussion about that, and parents were saying, well, my husband loves to hear that music. What can
well,
I do?
And you know, not that this is like a sociology class or anything, but think about it from the standpoint of people who feel marginalized. I mean, that's why the story of Robin Hood gets real traction, because mm-hmm. we feel like we've had our power taken away, you know, as men. I'm a man. you know, there's something to be said for it. Now, here I am, you know, like in an overpriced mortgage, barely getting by at the power structure of not only government, but my bosses and jobs and availability of work and everything else. I am in a position where my power as somebody who can take care of my family is subject to the whims of more powerful people. And I think when that happens, and it happens at real, you know, basic levels. I mean, Arizona just passed a law that said if your If you don't look like you were born in, I don't know, Nordic country or something, you could get pulled over and yeah. you have to prove you could be here. Well, that's marginalizing people.
Mm-hmm.
And so you look at the Narco Traficante songs or any sort of Robin Hood type of thing, and you can see why that resonates the same way that hip-hop resonates with urban or suburban or whatever type of youth. You know, because there are, you know, people have to kind of sit with the fact that, man, you know, it's like I'm like a pawn in this chess game, and you know, I never really wanted to be a pawn. You know, part of me wants to be powerful and able to kind of make my own choices and do what I need to do.
So that's why the music is so inviting, so appealing, so...
It's hitting a hole in your heart, basically.
And I think that the immigrant experience on the whole, you know, which is a huge part of our community, has been so sort of arduous over such a long period of time, and so degrading in some ways, as you mentioned. I mean, there's legalities that really, I mean, every day, like I know when I lived in LA, you know, I would always hear about somebody, you know, losing their car because they're not allowed to have a license and whatnot. Yeah. And, you know, there's the poor people who are just trying to piece together life. And so when you put all those experiences together over so many years, you know, and all the struggles and, you know, the farm worker struggles and all these things, I think that there is a collective sort of mindset that emerges and is related to, you know, what you're talking about, which is that people feel, you know, a lower sense of self-esteem. People feel like, you know,
marginalized.
Yeah, they feel marginalized, and it does. I mean, there's a lot of feelings. They're going back to this, like, you know, the whole topic of feelings.
I'm only as good as my credit score.
Well,
541. How about you?
Yeah, I think a lot of us are past even worrying about our credit score sometimes at this point, with the way things have been. You know, it is. You're right.
I'm middle aged. I still got one.
And so, you know, it's. There's so many things that people haven't talked about, and the feelings are there. Like, collectively, as a community, the feelings are there.
And without knowing it, we download all this stuff into our kids because our relationship... Because, you know, I was going to say it's kind of an unfair advantage when I look at it and say, well, you've got this parenting class, and you're teaching parents about their children. And parents have about maybe 10% of their brain, of their CPU, of their actively working brain, to dedicate to parenting, you know, on a good day. Because they've got all this other stuff going on in life. And then I was thinking, well, now you're teaching children about parents, and that's almost funny because, you know, especially 0 to 5, children have nothing better to do than absolutely download their parents. So they've plugged in a little flash drive into, like, the spot behind your neck there. And, and they are reading how you react to the environment at all times, and they are making implicit assumptions that may even be closer to the truth than you even think.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're getting their system applications, basically, their software. They're downloading from how you respond to the world,
right,
including how you respond to them.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's why it's so key to start. I mean, the class really is, it focuses on the parents, because we know that if the parents make those changes in their lives, it's almost automatically reflected in the children. Like, when that parent makes a good decision or changes their life in some way, like, you can...
Well, yeah, how do I manage my feelings of marginalization in a way that allow my kids to feel, first of all, to feel protected, I guess, from feeling that way. Secondly, to feel like they have some power and control over who they are that can't be taken away regardless of the geopolitical situation. You know, tricky stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Personal power is, you know, one of the key elements of the curriculum. And it's interesting when you ask these little kids, because, you know, we have to sort of use a lot of imagination and just be very creative with the kids. And, you know, you ask them something like, well,
we're doing this with 3-year-olds.
right. And so, you know, I do a lot of like, well, if you could be anything or if you could do anything, what would you do? You know, trying to sort of open them up to this idea of even at least imagining like something totally outside of their normal, you know, life. And it's hard for them. Like, you would, you know, it's kind of interesting to see that kids, you know, who normally, you know, you think their imagination sort of runs free and they can come up with anything, it's hard for them to like, even come up with that. And then you kind of feed them examples, you know, like, well, you know, if you could be Spider-Man and you could go here and you know, do this and, like, travel to the zoo and you know, give them, like, stuff like that. And then they kind of, you see a little spark light up and, you know, they start to think of things. But it's, some of these kids, like, it's very hard for them to imagine anything outside of, you know, what they've been living day to day.
And I'm supposing maybe intuitively, I'm supposing that research probably indicates that that's a very valuable thing to hit that 0 to 5 with, is the ability to begin to hone your and practice your imagination, just so you can have possible worlds instead of just reacting constantly to whatever's in front of you.
Yes,
you can dream.
Something that is also neat about the program is that, okay, Anna works with the children, I work with the parents, but then we have a time that we come together and we call it nurturing time. And during that time, we play games.
Girl bug! Oh, yeah, sorry.
Kind of, yeah. And parents experience some of that play and go back to their childhood and do some play, and it's great to see them, you know, at times so competitive with the 3-4-year-olds. And
they get better at it as this class goes on. Sometimes we see that like at the beginning they feel real awkward and they don't see that, or they don't want to play, you know, and then as the class continues, they kind of, it takes practice sometimes, you know, and then they get really into it and the kids really enjoy it.
Yeah.
Nice. Is the play child directed or parent directed, or both, or neutral?
More child directed, but for example, this activity where we put them to the parent put the child to sleep, and then as a group in a circle, we all sing a song for the child to wake up, and it's just the kids love it.
So it's pretending.
Pretending bedtime.
It's pretending a nice peaceful bedtime without any conflicts about staying awake or...
Yeah, and that is taking further because, you know, it's just a game right there, but I encourage the parents to take it home and use it as a strategy to wake the children up, to use it as a strategy, you know, to put them to bed, to become part of their routine, to establish that enriched environment.
Well, I think there's another thing below the surface there is that anything that you value, anything that you want to get better at and want to have a bigger part of your life in terms of it working, you practice.
Yeah.
And you got to practice it over and over. It doesn't just happen. So now you're also in a weird way kind of saying, hey, you know, same thing with multiplication tables in a weird way. Hey, remember when we practiced bedtime? Now we're going to practice 3 times 4.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because you've already set up a model of how to manage yourself in the world that says that, you know, you take something that needs to get done, like bedtime, because, well, can you just throw it away? No. Can you do it any kind of different which way? Absolutely. Could it be chaotic? Could bedtime cause problems in your life? Yeah, hello, we've got like a $1 million sleep medication thing for adults, and that's not even counting kids with disrupted sleep. Well, then how do we manage it? How do we do it in a way that not only doesn't cause harm, right. But you guys got the big N-word up there. How do you do it in a way that nurtures and helps? Mm-hmm. Because, you know, is sleep one of those really important things that can, you know, make the difference between a fully appreciated life and a less appreciated? Oh, definitely.
Yeah. And then at the same time, parents are watching other parents, and they're learning just, you know, and taking with them just different little strategies.
Oh, yeah, because we don't get to put people to sleep in groups.
Well,
typically.
Yeah. And role playing is a really critical thing, I think, that it's funny because it feels really awkward in the beginning, and so it takes people out of their comfort zone, which isn't necessarily a bad thing, I think, because, you know, in a way when you're teaching, you're hoping people create new neural circuitry and you know, they're going to actually maybe try to do things differently or just sort of wake up and see different things that they, you know, a greater awareness of themselves. So the role playing,
it's always,
you know,
nice to have options at least, right?
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't mean to say that we know, you know, we're showing them. What I'm trying to say is, you know, each of us hopes to become more aware of what we're really doing and not just sort of running on autopilot.
Oh, well, or what's the detail? What the saying is like, if your only tool is a hammer, then all of your problems are nails, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's nice to say, well, you know, I could do like the nurturing. Hey, kid, you know, it's 8:30. I notice that you're kind of messing with me tonight. You know, we could do the nurturing parenting thing. We could do, like, a fun way to go to bed, or I could, like, do the get-to-bed thing. Which way would you like to go tonight? And now you've got 2 cards to play. So now you've got some, as a parent, you've got an additional control or of ways to manage the situation. So you don't even have to do the nurturing parenting thing because now it's going to happen without the conflict anyway because it was there.
Yeah, yeah. Giving choices, that's a huge thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you guys are about giving parents, I guess where I'm going to go back to that in circular, is that providing parents with choices, not saying, well, hey, you know, studies say this is the right way, and if you do it this way, it's really completely messed up.
Right.
Saying, you know, just try these on, practice them, role play them.
Yeah, and each parent will have their own style. I mean, and we're totally, I think that one of the great things that I know Liliana does in her classes, and I can see her when she's working, is just really noticing that person and the beauty in that person, you know. So the class really isn't about cutting people down or telling them the right way to do things. It's really about...
Which would be a really effective way of changing behavior, right?
Sure. Nope.
Dude, where did you learn that?
Yeah, people don't respond so well to that. And
you think?
Yeah, I think the great thing is, you know, really, I think Viviana is excellent at acknowledging that person. No, I think it's one of her talents and why she's in this capacity, you know, is that, you know, saying, well, you are a unique and beautiful person, and I know, and there is a wonderful parent inside you, and maybe there's been things that that have been, you know, at times limiting that or causing you to be stressed out and not be able to access that great parent inside because, you know, you've got other loops that are running in your mind. And so when you acknowledge that person and you bring out each person's style, well, then each person is going to be able to take the tools you give them and apply them in their own.
You know, you're going right back to grounding and mindfulness. You heard where you went with that, didn't you? That basically everyone's got has the potential to be really, really effective at what they do. Yeah. And typically what's limiting that effectiveness is too much busyness,
right,
a.k.a. stress, a.k.a. not really sitting there and understanding what right now is my optimal place to be in terms of focusing on my life and getting it to manage itself in ways that don't cause additional problems.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Actually, we have an activity that it invites the parents to see the caring person in them and the predator. So, you know, invites the parents.
Hey, we didn't get to be on top of the food chain for nothing. You know? Well, no, honestly.
Yeah.
Honestly,
yeah. So we can really cause harm, but we can really build, you know, on our children. So which parent I want to be? What side of me I want to show?
It was like H.G. Wells. Do you want to be like the really cute, nurturing, fluffy people? Or do you want to be like the people who lived in the caves and came out at night and ate the nice people?
Yeah.
Or somewhere in between. Probably a balance would be where we're at in today's society. A balance might be a good place to be. So where are you guys taking this show on the road to next so that people who are listening can line up and be hounding the school site people and saying, you know, when are these people getting here? I'm ready for my nurturing parenting. Where's your next gig up at? Do you know? Have you got a gig lined up?
Uh-huh. Yeah. The next class, it's going to start Monday the 26th, which is next Monday, at the Kids R Us Preschool in El Centro, located by Waterman
and
Sixth. We're going to be using, actually, one of the classrooms at the ANSA school and for the parents and the classroom at the preschool for the children. And then we're going to come together and...
Yeah, it's going to be from 3 to 5 in the afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
Great. And if people are interested in getting nurturing parenting to their school site, like school administrators or preschool administrators, or other concerned people or parents or PTAs or anything like that, who could they call and who might they contact?
Mm-hmm. They can give us a call at Imperial County Office of Education, 312-6498. That's our number. Also, they can email us at either Anna.
Yeah, my email is.
Wait. Hang on, I gotta get a pencil.
Okay.
Oh, wait, that one's got broken leg. Wait. Oh, no. We're... Okay, I'm gonna write it on the back of this bill, but hopefully I won't lose. Okay, I'm ready.
Okay. All right. So my email is A San Pedro, all run together, ASANPEDRO, at ICOE.org. And, if you email me, I will make sure that your, you know, request is answered. And so we are starting that new class in El Centro, and we're also going to be probably starting up in Heber, potentially another class in Calexico and maybe Imperial. And ultimately, you know, we hope to continue doing this work to the point where we'll probably come to a town near you at some point, or a school in your neighborhood at some point.
Yeah, yeah,
and
exactly.
It'll be an ongoing thing. That's the idea, anyhow.
Well, if people start bugging you to bring classes, that'd be cool, huh?
Yeah, that would be great.
Great. Well, thank you both. Yeah. Thank you, Liliana, and
well, thank you,
Anna, for coming aboard today. And it's been, for you, it was, I realize, a truncated experience because you only got the last half of the show. But
my first radio experience. Exciting. Thank you.
Thank you. It was wonderful.
Thank you.
And join us next week when Maria left me the paper. She's so cool. When Dalia Pesquera, who's an MFT intern with Behavioral Health, and Sarah Ferguson, they're going to come on and talk about Too Good for Drugs, which is an evidence-based prevention program for substance use. Stay tuned for that one. Thank you all for listening. This is Let's Talk About It, brought to you by Imperial County Behavioral Health Services. Have yourselves a wonderful rest of the week, and we'll see you next week.
You're listening to KUBO 88.7 FM, Radio Bilingüe, Galéctico, Mexicali.
You've been listening to Let's Talk About It, heard each Thursday morning at 7:30 a.m. on KUBO 88.7 FM, Radio Bilingüe. Presented by Imperial County Behavioral Health Services and brought to you as a podcast by KXRadio.com.